And I don't suppose you know where Alpers Road is, do you? Well, it's down Woodhouse Street. And there were some hills, you know. We used to play on them as kids. And this, what these women said to me, can you get some more kids, Laura, and bring some sods up? So I said, what, you want sods, Father? I said, we want them to throw up managers when they're coming out. So us kids, we took these sods up, you know. Anyway, when I saw, like, what was that, I said, I'm having naught to do with this, so we carried sods away.
What was the strike about?
Pay, lowering the pay. Always about lowering the pay.
This was before you started at Bray?
Oh, yes.
You were still at school?
Yeah.
I see.
I've always been a rebel.
Yes. But anyway, you remember this man Dukes from that time, from before you started at Bray's?
Yes.
So what happened when you walked out and the man said to you...
Well, I went into Mr. Dukes's office, so he said, now then, Laura, he knew everybody's name, what's the matter? So I told him. So he says, who's your mechanic? I says, Charlie Roberts. And he was a right John Blunt. So he just picked the phone up and phoned up for Charlie Roberts. And he walked in to Charlie Roberts and he was dumbstruck, you know. Oh, and he fetched the foreman as well, Ben Hill as well. And he just said to Charlie Roberts, he told the tailors I told, you see. So he said to Charlie Roberts, now then, will you give me your verdict? Will you tell me if Laura's telling the truth or Ben Hill? He says, what I say is this here. He says, Mr. Dukes, he says, neither Ben Hill, you or King Dick could do them as Ben Hill says she's doing them. You see, because the holder of the trumpet was too far out. It wasn't even resting near where
so
the
So you were, in fact, improving on the way you did the job rather than the other way around. You were making...
Well, I was forced to do them like that. You see, if you get things at a separate length, if you were fastening a rubber on the end of there and they were all separate length and you were doing it on a machine that was fixed to take a long pencil and then you got some short ones, you couldn't do it and some a bit longer, you see. Mm.
So you were reinstated in the job?
Oh, yeah.
They persuaded you to go back?
Oh, yeah.
And so what did the foreman do then? Did he take it out on you or not?
No, well, I mean, it didn't bother me if he did because I never had any... You know, it didn't matter.
What happened during the war, you said, when these parts were sent to Rolls-Royce for hardening, and you found that your tools used to break when you tried to
cut them? Well, they didn't break. They were like cutters, you know, like saws, and they were like, you know what I mean?
They used to bend?
Yes, they used to turn over.
So what did you do then?
Well, we had to just go in and bury. We were always changing cutters, you know. It must have cost a fortune, changing cutters. But they used to tell me, because I've always been an inquiring mind, you see, and they used to tell me that they were to tighten something up on the wings of the planes, you see. Whether they told us that so we'd do them, you see, and do them perfect. We daren't do anything, send any shoddy work, you know. I used to send these things to Mr. Thomas, and then he'd look at them, you see. Sometimes he'd keep them and sometimes he wouldn't, you see. Then they'd have to come back as waste. And then we did... There must have been something to do, because we used to do some brass things, like about as big as that. And they were smooth like that, a bit thicker than that. Till you got to the middle, and then it was all milled, you know, a thicker piece, and it was milled. That was about as thick as my knuckle there. And there was a hole drilled in, and these were to put into something, you see, to tighten up like a handle.
Mrs. Barrett, do you remember who did the milling? Did the men do the milling or the women?
They'd be done on an automatic machine. You see, we had automatic machines there.
What kind of automatics do you remember?
Well, great big machines, you see, and the automatic lathes there were, you see. You know how a man moves the handle with the different tools? Well, these went automatic.
Did the women work them during the
war? Oh, yes, yes.
Did the women work them before the war as well, do you remember?
Oh, yes, they were in what we call the automatic room, you see. And I worked down there a bit.
So when a new machine was introduced, an automatic machine, were the women introduced then onto it? Before the war?
Well, they just, you see, you applied for a job.
Yes.
And you went in and they just ask you a few questions and let's say, I'm afraid of machinery. Do you like machinery, you see? Or would you rather have bench work? And anyway, you choose. Well, and then you see, if you'd done bench work, that put you on a machine. You had to do both, you see, you had to do as you were told. And there were all these machines. There were some nice machines and some nice little machines that girls that didn't like. I didn't like the big machines. I didn't like the automatics at all.
Why was that?
Well, I thought they were too heavy for girls to cope with. But
but an automatic lathe, like a turret lathe.
Yeah, that's right. Mm. That but they were very difficult. Big, you know.
They were big machines, enormous machines, but they were not difficult to operate.
Oh, no, because they went automatically. Yeah. See, all the girls did were, and the men did were feed them, you see. There was one room, the auto room, number 3 auto room, and that was full of automatic machines.
You never worked in that room?
Well, yes, I did, but on passing, you see, engaging, you see.
Oh, yes. Were you a passer during the war?
Pardon?
Were you a passer during the war?
Well, I used to pass at the war work, you see, and I had these micrometers, you see.
So thing. You were in charge during the war?
Yes,
of
yes.
Of a section?
Yes.
How many girls did you have under you? Do you remember?
Well, you see, it's rather difficult to tell because there was a long bench, you see, and they were gauging, you see, your different gauges. And then the machines were away from where the bench work was done.
Mm. But you passed everything that came out of the auto room?
Oh, no, not everything, no. Oh. I couldn't have done everything. No, I did certain things. I did these...
But Mrs. Verity, you did the work and you did the passing too. Is that right?
No, when I was in charge, I didn't do any work.
You didn't?
No,
How
I didn't
long
work
were
on
you
any
in
machines. Oh, I couldn't tell you, love. No, it's a long time since, you see.
Yes. You see, my impression is that during the war, during the First War, that is, a lot more new automatic machinery was introduced, or some more machinery, because the people who were working on munitions, the manufacturers got money from the government
to buy
invest
them.
The machines.
Yes, well, it's true they did.
So when you were working at Bray's, was it your impression that slowly and gradually during the war the factory became more modern?
Oh, I don't think so.
No.
Because they had these automatics before the war, you
they
see,
did.
In the...
Were they and considered a good firm, Bray's in Leeds? No.
Not then. It's been better since. There's Mr. George, Mr. Jim, and they belong to George Bray. And then there was three brothers, Arthur, George. There's three brothers.
Jim, you said.
Jim. No, Jim is one of the sons, you see. He got married not long since. It was all in the papers about him. Gone to be a social worker, training for a social worker.
Good.
Yeah.
But were they considered a better firm than, say, Greenwood and Batley's?
Oh, no. Greenwood and Batley's was supposed to be the firm.
For workers or for the work?
For both, I should say. Mind you, see, it was a different type of work. Greenwood and Batley's did heavier stuff than Bray's, did you see? And there aren't as many women working there. And you see the...
You see, my impression was that Greenwood and Batley's were a bad firm from the labour point of view. From the
well, none
relations.
Of them were good. None of them were good. Where was a good firm? Even Laycock's, the mill. And that was manoeuvred by all the relatives. And that was not a good firm to work at. But there's more liberty at Laycock's than anywhere in Leeds.
Is there more liberty at Laycock's, you think?
That was a weaving mill, you know. But you see what used to happen, the weavers would weave in the pieces, you see, and they had to wait till the tuner put the next piece on for them, you see. They had a lot of waiting time. It used to be murder. I've seen women come out of Laycock's mill and say, I haven't even a piece, but sometimes I used to let them book a piece, which was about 10 or 12 bob in those days. That was a full roll of cloth that stood and weaved. Piece, wasn't it?
What made you go into engineering and metalwork in the first place?
Well, it was the only thing you could do. You either had to go to Laycox or go to Braes.
I see.
And Braes had a shocking name. Shocking name. In fact, my sister went there, you see, but she went to Crockett's at first, the cleaners. Now, that was a dog hole.
What's a dog hole?
Well, worse than... You know what I mean, a dog hole compared to human beings, you see. Kennel, dog kennel, you see, at the side of a house. That's a dog hole. Ooh, Crockett's was wicked. And they tell me it ain't much better now.
What do they make, Crockett's?
They don't make anything. They dye and cleaners, you see. My sister went there and she was... Yeah, she didn't work there long. She was glad to get away.
I see.
And she went to Braes, you see.
I see. But your parents, did they have anything to do with your choosing to go to Braes?
Well, no, because for girls in Woodhouse...
Yes.
It was either Braes or Laycox, you
because
see.
Because it was nearby.
I'll tell you the honest truth. I wanted to be a doctor. And I put my name down to go in for a scholarship, and it was when Charlie Wilson was boss in Leeds. I am Leeds. I don't know if you've heard about him. And I was born on the 2nd of August, and I should have been 12 on the 1st of August. It was 12 to 14 then, not 11 to 13. And it was 12 to 14, and because I was a day too young, I did the exam and did everything correct. I couldn't have the scholarship. And they wrote a letter. I had a teacher called Miss Helen Bezerville Biles, and she was a grand woman. She's still living, as a matter of fact. She lives at Bentham, unless she died just recently, but I haven't heard anything. And she tried to get me the scholarship, and I had an uncle went on the... He went on the council for the Labour Party in 1914 and he tried to get me the scholarship. My father wrote to Charlie Wilson and he wrote back and said that I could sit again the next year. And he wrote back and told him if he could afford to waste a year in a child's life, he couldn't.
But your father was keen for you to do medicine?
To what then?
To do medicine.
No, he didn't know what I wanted to be. But he was keen on education, you see. There were four girls of us in the family and we all wanted to do something. But you see, there were four girls of us and of course your parents then thought you'd get married and be no good. I had a brother. He was at Leeds University before he was 15. Yeah, I won a junior city scholarship and I don't think he'd been a full week to school up to being... 10 years old. And he went won a scholarship, junior city, to Coburn High School, and then he won a senior city when he was 12 and a half. Well, he were only about 12 and a half when he won the scholarship,
the senior city.
Well, he was going in for a doctor. But you see, the very thing that my dad thought would happen to us happened to him. He fell for a pretty face and didn't want to go on with this training at university. He was an officer in the officer's training corps at Leeds University. I think he was about the youngest officer in the British Army during the First World War.
So he stopped his studies?
Yeah, and he came into the business. We were in the fish and poultry trade, you see. We had a good business with two shops low down the road, you see. And he went into the business, and then he was 21 when he got married. And he didn't like the fish and poultry trade. He wasn't cut out for it, you see. Anyway, he went to work for Singer sewing machine people. And he soon got a job at York as manager there for years. And then he saw an advert in the paper for a manager for the Gas, Light and Coke, as it was then, in London, you know, the gas company. And he went to go to an interview. And when he got down, the man at the door said, After her name, it says which university. It said Leeds University. And they took him in and they got the job. And he said this room was absolutely chock-a-block full of other fellas waiting to see. You see, Leeds University carries anywhere.
Mrs. Verity, when you started at Bray's, did you start